Yellowstone National Park is dramatically transformed by winter. Wildlife stands out against a blanket of snow. Steam from the fiery geysers billows in the chill air, and crowds are a fraction of their summer size. The season also brings on what has become an annual feud over whether snowmobiles should be part of the winter landscape. The Bush administration has reversed a Clinton-era ban on snowmobiles in the park. Its latest proposal acknowledges that from a purely environmental standpoint, Yellowstone would be better off without the machine's noise and exhaust. But in a national park, environmental concerns are always weighed alongside other forces: the demand for recreation, economics, and, quite frankly, politics. We asked reporter Kathy Witkowski to set aside politics for a moment and provide a sense of the experiences that are at issue.
If you want to see Old Faithful and the heart of Yellowstone in winter, you've got three choices. Strap on a pair of skis or snowshoes and slog 30 miles from the west entrance. Unless you're a high-performance athlete or a glutton for punishment, this is probably not an option. You can take a snow coach. This is a van that's jacked up on treads and easily negotiates the snow-covered roads. The coaches are warm and cozy inside, if a little cramped, and the driver provides a guided tour of the scenery.
Anyhow, the trees we have growing here, predominantly these lodgepole pine trees, they make up 80%.
These tours cost $100 or more per person, last an entire day, and require you to stay with the preset group itinerary, which is why a lot of people end up touring the park another way. Renting a snowmobile is at least as expensive as taking a snow coach. But a lot of snowmobiles can hold two people, and even though you have to stay on park roads, you're on your own schedule. That's the reason Pam Nelson of Salt Lake City ended up renting one, something she normally would never consider.
You come here to breathe fresh air and smell it. It smells like we're in a gas station or behind diesels. You see the buffalo and the elk and everything all around, and the noise is just phenomenal. And so I'm here doing it, but I definitely feel like a hypocrite.
Nelson's dilemma cuts to the heart of the conflict for park officials: how to balance demands for recreation with their mandate to protect the natural values that make this a national park in the first place. Just a few miles inside the west entrance of Yellowstone, half a dozen trumpeter swans, several Canadian geese, and some ducks are feeding in the Madison River. It's a lovely winter scene, hushed and peaceful, supremely serene, at least temporarily. The birds don't seem bothered in the least by the snowmobiles that just passed by. But for Ranger Julie Hannaford, that noise is as offensive as someone tossing coins into the delicate hot pools.
Because we consider silence to be a resource. I mean, that's one of the reasons you come to a natural area, is for the quiet also, to hear the natural sounds.
There is no getting around it. Snowmobiles are noisy. In its latest proposal, the Park Service aims to lower the volume. Instead of a complete ban, it wants to phase out the smoky old two-stroke engines, which sound like this. And replace them with these quieter and cleaner four-stroke models. So, from this to this. Quieter, but still far from the silence Ranger Hannaford would prefer.
People go into the backcountry to ski, and they have to get a couple miles from the road before you can't hear that anymore. Now, what a shame that is. They should be able to go out there and not be hearing the drone and the whine and the rah, rah, rah of the snowmobile.
But one person's noisy nightmare is another person's dream vacation.
The coyotes we saw yesterday were coming right down the middle of the road. They walked right past us. We could have reached out and touched them.
Bob and Bridget Thompson came all the way from Phoenix to see the park without the summer crowds. They say the snowmobiles didn't detract from their experience at all.
I think the national park need to have accessibility to the public. What I have seen a lack of here is law enforcement. As long as everybody behaves themselves, it needs to be accessible to people.
Behaving mainly means staying on the roads and keeping a distance from wildlife, which is why the new proposal also requires snowmobilers be accompanied by a trained guide. The latest proposal won't officially be released until later this month, and already it's under fire. But park officials have been there before. This is, after all, the third attempt in as many years to come up with a plan that will stick. No one's betting this one will. For NPR News, I'm Kathy Witkowski in Yellowstone National Park.